Shalom and welcome back to the daily Tikkas HaTzadik Chabura. Today is episode 9. We're going to be looking at two shorter pieces today, Os, Tes, and Yod. Now, in order to understand Os, Tes, we need to start with the following framing. We have mentioned this before, but it bears repeating, especially during the season of Elos, we go towards the Yom Narayim, that when a person does a chet, when we sin, well, that's the problem. The word sin is completely foreign to our lexicon as Jews. Because the word chet comes from, it's actually an archery term, that when the archer would try to hit the target and would miss the target, that's what it means, lachto, to miss the mark. And also when it comes to another word we use to describe these types of actions, we use the term an avera. And avera, sometimes we'll call it a sin, a transgression, but really what it's about is a type of veering off from the path that we're trying to pursue. And I think this type of framing is important to appreciate what Tzadok is now going to say in the following paragraph. So the tzaddik writes, Yashav Adam v'lo asa mitzvah, shechova olav l'hasosa, ki ilu asa avira. When we look at Judaism, we typically think of two different categories. There's the sur meira, the things we need to avoid, and there's the aseh tov, the actions we should be engaging in. But Rav Tzadok is trying to focus on here is what's the attitude that we take towards those actions. It's not just enough to say, okay, I'm going to spend my time avoiding all the things I shouldn't do that come at the cost of impacting my relationship with God. But rather, we have to have the attitude that not engaging in an action of a mitzvah can have a similar effect as an avera, because again, the point is continually to cultivate ourselves as we pursue this relationship with God, as we pursue this journey, then if we're not pursuing that relationship with passion, then inexorably we're going to be veering off and become adrift. In fact, says Rav Tzadok, Kach Shemati, I heard this idea from my Rebbe of Mordechai Yosef Leiner, Midiyuk Lashon HaMishnah Deresh Brachos LaHarchek Min HaAvira. He actually made this as an inference from the very first Mishnah of Brachos, because there the Mishnah says that the Chachamim were of the opinion that even though there was the opinion suggested you could recite Kriyat Shema until dawn of the next day, the Chachamim limited it to Chatzos, telling the halachic midnight of that day. And the reason given for this edict was the fact is, the Harch Min Avera, is in order to distance a person from committing an Avera. But what we're discussing here in the context isn't an Avera, like, for example, like violating Shabbos or something like that. We're talking about not reciting Kriyat Shema. So here, the Me'ashiloach and Rav Tzadok see as a paradigm for this idea that even not engaging the mitzvah can be seen as, again, veering ourselves off from the trajectory we want to be pursuing. And the language of the Me'ashiloach himself is very beautiful. He says, even if we don't actually commit any sort of prescribed action, nevertheless, but we find within ourselves certain feelings or thoughts that are keeping us or distancing ourselves from feeling a sense of a love for God, says the Me'ashiloach, based on the Gemara in Brachos, Nikra Hihurei Avira. It's already considered to be within this category of pulling us away, of pushing us away from this relationship. And so Rav Mosesen just adds, he says, Hari Shemefarish Halashon Avera, we see that the Me'ashiloach is using the term Avera, Amenias Mitzvah Seishal Ahava. He's using it to describe the action of not pursuing this mitzvah, of this relationship of Av Sashem with God. And now explains Rav Tzadok that this idea is actually explicit in the Gemara itself, of Pashut, who Shekei Matzino. It's obvious because we find this idea stated explicitly in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, Poshi Yisrael, when it's talking about the category of those Jews who, again, to not use the term sin, but are, who are, leave it untranslated, who are the Poshe, the Jews who are Poshim. What's that? Begufan Karkafta Lomanach Tfilin. The example that it gives is someone who's now putting on tefillin. But again, as we said before, that's not an avera in the classical sense. Rather, it's not doing a mitzvah. What we're saying here is that not doing a mitzvah has a similar effect, that it's not connecting us to the relationship with God that we're trying to cultivate. As he just ends, afal gav de'inu ella b'shev altas. Even though it's done passively, it's that we're opting not to, as opposed to doing something that actively veers us away. We see that it can have a similar effect. And so we need to recognize the impact of our actions that they can have, that's not just enough to have the sur meira, to avoid the things that are actively pulling us away from our relationship with God, but rather to pursue passionately the aseh tov as well. And now Rav Tzadok is going to shift to a beautiful framing when it comes to learning Torah Shel Baal Peh specifically. A few episodes ago, we quoted the idea of Rav Kook in his Oros HaTorah of what the profound, transformative religious experience of Torah Shel Bichsav can be. But as Rav Kook also points out in that same piece, the difference is when it comes to Torah Shel Baal Peh, it's much more, well, to use the term, anthropocentric. It's really human-focused. It doesn't have the same type of religious ideals and values that are explicitly stated as they are in the Torah Shel Bichsav. When we're talking about Torah Shel Baal Peh, it's much more of the human focused, human interest, human problems, And also it's a product of human understanding in conjunction and in partnership with divinity. And therefore, it's so important when we're learning Torah Shebaal Peh, whether it's Mishnah, Gemara, etc., to remember what is the origin, what is the foundation of the Torah that we're learning. It's all sourced back to Torah Shebichsav, towards revelation. And so Rav Tzadok writes, Kol binyan limudo yiyah al hamikra, shetziva Hashem. All the learning we do, whatever it is, halacha, gemara, machshava, it all comes back to the Torah. Torah Shebichsav, the revelation of God to His people. This idea of the connection of the root of the Torah we're learning has to always be in front of us at all times. It has to be at the forefront of our mind. But in a more literal way, they say the following story about Rav Kook. When Rav Kook was a student in Volozhin, so he had a shtender. And in the shtender, he had different materials. And another student noticed that every so often, during the course of when they were learning, that Rav Kook would look inside the shtender for a minute or so, and then go back to his learning. And because of what was going on in the broader atmosphere of the yeshiva, I mean, the yeshiva was a lot of socialists and Bundists and Zionists and Haskalists. And so this other student was on the lookout for this type of material amongst his fellow students. And so the student goes to the Netziv and says, I think that Cook is he's a maskil. He's going ahead, he's looking at his shender every so often. He's probably looking at, you know, secular literature, socialist literature, Zionist literature. It's a problem. And the Netziv said to this guy, don't bother him, he's a tzaddik. But this wasn't satisfactory to the student, and so he wanted to find out what was going on. What was exactly that Rav Kook was looking at in his shtender while they were supposed to be learning, and connecting to the Torah Shebaal Peh? And so Rav Kook was actually very organized, and he was very disciplined, and he had the same schedule every single day. He'd wake up around 6 o'clock, he'd go to davening, and from 7 until midnight, he'd be learning in the Beis Medrash. But at midnight is when he would go back to his room. So this other student waits out and waits until Rav Kook decides to leave the Beis Medrash to go back to his dormitory. And he sees he didn't take the papers with him. So now he's all excited. He's going to be able to find out what kind of nefarious material is Rav Kook looking at. And he goes in, and what does he find? He finds the Shem Hashem, Yod-Kei, Vav-Kei written out. And he goes back to the Netziv, and the Netziv says, I told you. He was a tzaddik. And the way that this story is explained is that what Rav Kook was trying to do is exactly what Rav Tzadok is talking about here, is that he wanted to always be cognizant of the fact that what we're learning, and again, because especially when it comes to Gemara and Halacha, it's very, you know, it's rich, it's sophisticated, but it doesn't always seem like it's connected to the ideals of God and revelation. And so what Rav Kook would do is he would take every so often a break to connect back to, by looking at the Shem Hashem, to remind himself what he's doing when he's learning Torah. And so going back now into the text, Rav Tzadok says, Ki al zeh hu dan al ma shetziva Hashem yisparach b'toraso. That when we're looking at a piece of halacha, gemara, etc., what we're doing is not just some sort of legal material that's completely disconnected or detached from God. Rather, this is what the Ritzon Hashem is. We're trying to understand it and plumb the depths of the Ritzon Hashem. Ve'al zeh remez b'rosh ha-mishnayis de'pasach me'emesai. It was to this very idea that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was alluding to when he opens the Mishnayos, the very first set of Mishnayos that open up the Talmud Bavli, with the question of Me'emesai. When do we begin to go ahead and recite Kriyat Shema? When does the obligation begin? And what's the answer? V'tana akra koi. At the way that they're able to understand of where it begins, what's the origin of the idea of the timing of the obligation, the halachic obligation of Kriyat Shema, is all dependent on a pasuk. And Rav Tzadok is saying it's not just about the derivation. It's saying that whenever I'm learning Torah Shebaal Peh, it's all akrakoi. I have to connect it back to the Torah Shebichsav, to the revelation of God to us, to teach us la'aruye, the kol mishnaso rak akrakoi. It all stands on the foundation of Torah Shebichsav and the revelation contained therein. V'lo kelim chacham mechachmos. Again, Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah, is not like any other wisdom, any other discipline. It is the divine discipline that's connected back. It's the exploration of the divine revelation that happened Har Sinai. U'kimeduma shekach shamati gamkin. Since Rav Tzadok, this can't be my idea. He said, I must have heard it from the Me'ah Shiloch as well. I just don't remember the exact time. And in fact, Rav Mosesson points out on the footnote here, if you look at the Me'ah Shiloach and his commentary at the back on Maseches Brachos, he says this idea as well. We'll just quote a little bit of the idea that Me'ah Shiloach says in his own words, because it's so beautiful. He says, Hainu, shelo nifrad chibur mishnayel sherebi, bishum pirud vehefresh mitor shebichsav. To teach us that there's no distinction. There's no disconnection between the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law of Rabbi, the Mishnayos, with that of the Torah Bechsav. Rak kemosha gemara lamdu hatanayim v'amurayim azim v'mishnayos. Just like you have the Gemara, which is a commentary and it's connected to the words of the Mishnayos. V'ratzu la'amod al das v'mishnayos u'pershu osam. And the tanayim v'amurayim who were explicating and analyzing the Mishnayos wanted to have their own footing and their basis for their own understanding of the Gemara. Kain chibur ha-mishnah haya atorish bechzav. So too is it that we see that there was this tremendous chibur, this beautiful connection of the Torah Bechzav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. To realize that there is this organic relationship between these two areas of Torah, that even though one is more associated with human initiative, the Torah Shebaal Peh, it is just as connected to the Torah Bechzav. As I pointed before, this is discussed as well by Rav Cook in the beginning, the first parak of Avoras HaTorah. And for me, you actually can see this in the structure of how Torah Shebaal Bechzav and Torah Shebaal Peh are structured. I don't remember where I heard this from, but definitely this is not my own idea. It's the quote of Tzadok, Meduma Kach Shamati. I heard from one of my teachers that if you look at the way it's structured, so especially in the later books of the Torah, you'll have a legal section of the Torah, which will then be bookended by a narrative section, a story that's some sort of idea. You see this with the Benos Tlafchad. This is a popular theme schematically in the Torah Shebaal Bechzav. And then says, point out many, that this was actually copied by Rebbe in the way he ordered his Mishnayos. At the end of a Masechta or a Perek, you'll find that it also becomes very narratological. There's a story, there's an Agarata that ends the Perek or the Masechta. A classic example that I can think of is also in the Gemara as well. In the ending of the Gemara, in Makos, is a very beautiful, poignant, agadic portrayal of Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues. And then the further explication of this is the next level of rabbinic interpretation was the Rambam's Mishnah Torah. You see this as well in the Rambam. At the end of certain prakim, certain chapters, and then of certain books, of the 14 books of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does this as well. So you see the sort of this development of not just in how the content is supposed to be connected back to Torah Bechzav, but even the very structure of how it's being structured is to, again, have that be evoking the Torah Bechzav as well. So again, this beautiful message from Tzadok and from Rav Cook is that when we're looking, we open up a Shulchan Aruch, a Gemara, etc., it has to always be connected and anchored in the Torah Bechzav experience of that revelation to seek out that presence whenever we're learning Torah. So with that, I hope you have an amazing day.